Kia ora, this is Lorna Johnson. You're listening to Making Palmy Home. Welcome to all the listeners today. And our guest today is Elaine Riley.
Morning. Hi, Elaine. Hi, Lorna. Morning to you.
So, Elaine, you are probably quite a well-known person in Palmerston North, I suppose.
Oh, I'm not quite sure how to take that, but yeah, maybe. I do a number of things. So, yes, I have a finger in quite a lot of pies in the city.
So, tell us a bit about what you're doing in Palmerston North at the moment.
So I am definitely what they call now a portfolio worker. I have a collection, a plethora of things that I am involved in. I do a lot of work with New Zealand School Trustee Association. So I work with school boards. So probably worked with most of the school boards in the city and round about this region. But I do work everywhere from Taihape down to Wellington. So that's one world. I run a programme, a women's development programme called CLAN, which is to help women get together and to help each other and to progress their big ambitions and articulate those big ambitions. And I'm a consultant, so I work with local organisations, but other companies all over, again, the Lower North Island, helping them make better decisions in their businesses.
Mm. You are a very busy person, I know that.
Oh, and I'm a marriage celebrant, so I do weddings as well.
And the stand-up comedian.
Oh, yeah, and I'm a stand-up comedian. That's a hobby. So I try and be funny sometimes, deliberately. Other times I'm funny accidentally.
Yeah. So I should tell people that Elaine tried to make a joke when she came in, but I'm so straight-laced, I didn't even get it.
It wasn't a great joke, but I'll keep trying.
Okay, that's good. So your work now is taking you a bit outside of Palmerston North, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So, but when you first arrived, how long ago was that?
Well, in September, that'd be 14 years. Wow. How did that happen?
I think a lot of us just turn around and go, oh, we're living here now.
Absolutely. Oh, no, I mean, we came positively to New Zealand and right. We came positively to Palmerston North. I was on the kind of skilled migrant journey with immigration and doing all the applications, expressions of interest and getting my lungs x-rayed and all of those things, you know, that you have to do. And it was just going a little too slow for us. By that time in Scotland, we had a business and we had a farm and we'd sold both of them and we were kind of poised to flee, if you like, and still didn't have the permanent residence that we wanted. And we decided that moving here with two young children, if we could do it with permanent residence in place already, that would be a good thing, because that meant we weren't, you know, we weren't reliant on our circumstances to stay here. It meant we could stay.
Yeah.
So we were waiting for that, and I realised that it could still be some months away, and that if you actually had a job offer in hand, immigration did a better job of moving things along faster.
Right, so they were a bit incentivised to speed up your application.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think a matter of months became a matter of weeks or days at that point. So in my wisdom, I thought, right, I'm going to come to New Zealand. For the first time, by the way, I hadn't ever set foot in the country at that point. Come to New Zealand, and I did a North Island and a South Island tour, a bit like Billy Connolly, but not quite so funny. And nobody paid me. I paid to do that. And I came with the express purpose of networking and looking for specific job offers.
So did you come on your own at that point?
Yeah, well, I came with a friend. Right. Yeah, so a friend who had recently split from in her marriage and was looking for a bit of an adventure as well. So she came as a partner in crime.
Like Thelma and Louise kind of thing.
Well, husband and two children were at home. He was keeping the home fires burning. Yeah. And we came for a month. And as I say, we did the North Island. And the way it worked was I went out during the day. Before that, I'd emailed loads of the economic development agencies, which was my line of profession, and said, I'd really like to come and I'd really like to find out how it works here. You know, just travel with curiosity, please. Can you show me? If I was to turn up at your place, could you take some time to talk me through it? And of course, in the back of my mind, I was hoping I would be sussing them out, but also hoping that somebody might like the cut of my jib, you know, and I might get a job offer, which is what happened, actually. And so my friend and I came. She went out being a tourist during the day. I went out networking and visiting places. And then we got together at dinner and compared notes. And then we moved on to the next place. It was good. It was a lot of fun, actually.
Well, that was you sort of took your destiny in your own hands then, really, didn't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I think you've got to do that, haven't you? I mean, it was a very proactive step on our part. And actually, the first job I did in Palmerston North came from that journey. Not, I have to say, I missed out Palmerston North. So how could I do that? Toured everywhere, went almost everywhere, but didn't come to Palmerston North because kind of going up the west coast and
it's not really on a tourist route.
No, it's not on the. No. But I wasn't really tourism, so I still managed to miss it.
Yeah,
I suppose so. And we, so I got a job offer down in Dunedin actually from the Dunedin Economic Development Agency there. And that was my decision was actually, if I'm going to move to the other side of the world, you know, 5 degrees warmer and, you know, just go for the uplift in the weather a little bit, that Dunedin might just be too big a stretch for the in the winters down there. So when I turned that job offer down, by this time I was back in Scotland, when I turned that job offer down, they said, yeah, actually, you should check out the Economic Development Association of New Zealand, which I hadn't even tripped across at that point.
Right.
And on that website was advertised the job at Vision Manawatu, which is a job that I then had an online interview for and came for.
Wow. It's funny how things work out. I was thinking Dunedin, you know, coming from Scotland, Dunedin will be your natural environment in a way.
Yes. Well, I mean, again, Billy Connolly does a great joke about that, about how Scotland, you know, Scottish folk arrived and they were in the Bay of Islands and were going, oh, this looks nice. Oh, warm. Oh, pleasant. Oh, nice place to live. Far too nice for us. Let's keep going and cracking on till they got to Dunedin and had that kind of icy.
Until it was cold enough.
Icy hail into their face and going, yeah, this sounds like our kind of a place. We're going to stay here.
Okay. So then, from then Scotland, you then packed up the husband and kids and
yep,
all came over.
We packed up. Well, we were already kind of that track.
Yeah.
We were ready to move. And in fact, I was in Wellington when our permanent residence was approved. And I hadn't checked the website that day. You know, they keep updating on the website and I text my husband to say, look, I've arrived. I'm in Wellington now. We're just settling into our hotel. And he said, oh, by the way, you can come home now. He said, because our permanent residence has been approved. And I said, oh, no, I'm about to do welly. I'm not coming home just yet.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Right. So when you had made the decision to come to New Zealand, what was it about New Zealand that attracted you? So you obviously had a plan,
executed well, as I'd
expect from your life. But what was the New Zealand? Where did that idea come from? I guess.
Well, I think when you've decided that you're up for the adventure, and when you look around the world, you're looking for, you know, places that are based on something that you know and understand. You know,
right,
so you've got the English language was part of it. I speak French. Michael's not so linguistic, so he wasn't keen on learning a new language.
Yeah.
So we thought, go somewhere where they speak our language, where we understand the terms of engagement. And, you know, they're obviously the links to the UK are strong and embedded in New Zealand. Canada was attractive, and I've got family in Canada, but it gets to minus 20 and there's very deep snow.
Yeah.
So we shook that idea off pretty quickly. So it narrowed it quite quickly. We'd always liked New Zealand. We'd always kept an eye on the country, if you know what I mean.
Yes,
And, you know, I think probably in the year or two before we came, every New Zealander that visited Glasgow, I had a cup of coffee with and a chat with. And I had a New Zealand lecturer at university and he'd really kind of got me quite excited about the country too. So that was
So you didn't
part
have any relatives here or friends or anything?
No.
Okay.
We'd never been here. Yeah. We had nobody to come to. It does sound a bit mad. But, you know, and people say often to me, oh, that was so brave. And it just didn't actually feel brave. It just... Well, if it doesn't work out,
you can just
go back.
Go home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but we also had researched well, and we knew that if people went back home sooner than being settled for 2.5 to 3 years, that they were much more likely to revert and go back to their home country.
Yeah.
So we told everybody when we told our family, we'll not be back for at least 3 years.
Right.
We're going to give ourselves everything that could tip in our favour
and
staying here. We wanted to set it up that way.
So you're in a very positive frame of mind, I suppose, when you arrived.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did
Exhausted,
it work out? I mean, did it meet your expectations? What was it like those first? Can you think back to that? What was it like those first few months?
it was quite different professionally. And right. That if there was a culture, I, you know, we were coming for a culture change, but not a culture shock.
Yeah.
But professionally, it was a bit of a culture shock, I have to say.
I totally relate to that.
Economic development, yeah. which was my, you know, I'd been doing for a lot of years in Scotland and in Europe. Is quite a different game than it is in New Zealand. And right. here in New Zealand, economic development is used synonymously with business development. And, you know, I've done both and I enjoy both, but they are quite different things. Right. So that was a bit of a shock, I think. And the scale of projects, you know, we had those economic development projects in the UK are often about infrastructure and, you know, kind of often the kind of stuff that councils would do, but mm-hmm. we would be doing added value projects. And so we were used to very big budgets. And then I came to an organisation, the whole organisation's budget was smaller than a project budget. So that scale thing was probably a shock. Yeah. And in a way, probably some of the management practices and things were different than I. So that was a bit of a shock. Mm. It was a shock, I think, when I look back. But wow, you just adapt and adopt. And lifestyle was fantastic. You know, right away we settled in. We worked really hard at our social life in a way that you don't have to when you're just surrounded by people, you know. So I think probably everybody that we met, and of course the kind of work I was doing, I was meeting a lot of people, which was great. Almost everybody we met had dinner at our house. Mm-hmm. You know, we were invited people for dinner or invited people for a barbecue. Cooked and fed them. So it was kind of like a big interview process for friends. And because you've got to force your way into other people's lives in the nicest way.
Yes.
Because they've got a social circle and they've got hobbies and groups and clubs and things that they're part of. And you've got to pierce that bubble somehow.
Yeah.
And feeding them is kind of a natural space for me. So that seemed to work, you know.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have said that it takes a positive effort to get a new circle of friends around you when you move to a new country, that you can't actually just sit back and expect that people are going to sort of come to you. You've got to be the one to take the step.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. That's probably where the courage is and that perseverance is. Just keep going and just keep looking for the people that you're going to gravitate towards, you know.
Yeah. So. And it's a sort of a bit like, not quite like dating, but it's a little bit like, you know, because not everybody that you meet socially, you might want to be friends with. So, you know, you have got to do that kind of like filtering out thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Maybe that's a good moment to take a break and we'll have a listen to some music and we will come back in a few minutes.
Cool.
Cross the border into the big bad world, where it takes you about an hour just across the road, just to stumble across another poor old soul. From the dreary old lanes to the high street madness, I fight with my brain to believe my eyes, and it's harder than you think to delay this sadness that creeps up my spine and haunts me through the night. Life is good and the girls are gorgeous. Suddenly the air smells much greener now, and I'm wandering around with a half pack of cigarettes, searching for the change that I've lost somehow. These streets have too many names for me. I'm used to Glenview Road and spending my time down in Orchid. I'll get used to this eventually, I know. Where the days go when all we did was play, and the stress that we were under wasn't stress at all, just a run and a jump into a harmless fall. From walking by a high-rise to a landmark square, you see millions of people with millions of cares, and I struggle to the train to make my way home. I look at the people as they sit there alone. Life is good and the sun is shining, the Everybody floods to their ideal place and the children.
Awesome. So we're back now on Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson, and my guest today, Elaine Riley. So, Elaine, before the break, we were talking about, you know, friends and the people that you meet when you first arrive, and that really deliberate effort you make as a migrant to go out and meet people.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, and you've got like some interesting stories about that, I believe.
Oh, yes, I totally agree. You've got to be proactive and you've got to get the energy out there, get yourself out there. And but people kept saying to me, oh, you've really got to meet so-and-so. They're a real hard case. And so I was kind of like taking note, right, so-and-so is a hard case, right? And then so you really, oh, you must meet so-and-so because they're a hard case. And I was almost forming a list of people who were hard cases, because in Glasgow, where I come from, a hard case is somebody who would stab you rather than look at you, you know? So and I was thinking, here's all these people in now in Palmerston North that I need to avoid because they're hard cases. And then it was honestly several days, maybe a week or so on, I thought, That can't mean the same thing, because
there's too many people
setting me up, you know. And so I finally worked out that hard case, you know, divided by the same language, you know. So these subtle nuances are things that you only find out when you're here and living it, you know.
Yes, and I think it's often a surprise, because those of us that come speaking English expect to understand everything. And there are these kind of subtleties, I suppose, that just take a little while to get used to.
Absolutely.
So if you whiz forward to current day, does it feel like home living here now?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. We are. I mean, and I know Fraser here at NPR uses a phrase, and I've stolen it from him, which is we're skiwis.
You know,
we are Scottish Kiwis, absolutely. We're all New Zealand citizens. We feel very loyal to Palmerston North. We have definitely adapted and adopted our behaviour. And we're 90% Kiwi, but we still hang on to that important 10% streak of Scottishness. But when we go back to Scotland, we realise that we're not fully Scottish either. You know, you definitely lose something about the culture and how they do things. You're shaking your head at some things,
and
you know.
And they look at you differently as well, I suppose, do they?
Yes, a little, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're the weird ones that didn't stay, you know. They're all sitting in the same seats of the same cafes that they were sitting in 14 years ago. And, you know, we feel quite different because of our experience, but perhaps things are not quite so changed for them.
Oh, that's interesting. And do you feel that you make a specific effort to retain some of that Scottish identity?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's dear to my heart and core to us, and would never why would you walk away from such a legacy of the Scottishness? It's a wonderful country. It's done wonderful things, and I'm very happy. We didn't leave Scotland to get away from Scotland. We came to New Zealand because we wanted to be in New Zealand. So we culturally use the language. I have fridge magnets with all our Scottish words up there. We make Scottish sentences. We have an annual, we gather Scottish people, and we have an annual, we're a bit social anyway, and we kind of, we have an annual hooly, which is a Scottish party really, which we have every year round about St Andrew's Day, which is the end of November. And every Scottish person we've ever met, we might have only met them once, you know, we don't need to be best buddies with them, but we say, come on this day, bring a plate of your Scottish food.
Yeah.
Your favourite thing. So people kind of dig out their old recipes and things and make things that they used to eat. And we all sit around and eat beige food, drink whiskey, and we have a Scottish quiz, and we do some Scottish country dancing, and it's
that's
a bit
cool.
of a carry on,
that's
actually.
Very
so
cool.
So yeah, you've got to make that effort. And you know, with the accent, I don't think I'll ever lose this accent. And I don't want to. I'm not trying to. It's softened quite a bit, but and so people are reminding me all the time that I'm Scottish. They remind me more often than I remind
that's
myself.
Interesting. Yeah.
Sometimes they think I'm Irish. Well, I think they hear Riley and then a funny accent and so it becomes Irish. So, yeah, we work at retaining our Scottishness for sure.
And what about the kids? Do they identify as sort of Scottish Kiwis as well?
Yeah, I would say so. They've both spent some time as young adults back in Scotland and in Europe travelling. That was pre-COVID, thing, of course.
Yeah.
But seen it with their own eyes and reevaluated that, but they're very happily Kiwi and very happily settled here. One in Wellington studying and one in Palmerston North studying. And we're expecting our first little moko in September.
Oh, that's exciting. I did not know that.
In September. So we're excited about that.
So what is it going to be, Granny Elaine or what?
Oh, you know, I know. That's I'm a big still. Decision. I know it is, and I have to say, I've not crossed a line on that, and I really need to. But
yeah.
Other people have told me actually the wee one will decide what you're going to be called because they tend to make, you know, they make whatever name up for you that they want. But I'll need to start with something. So probably Granny or Granny. Yeah, I don't know.
That's funny. Yes, Fraser was mentioning the St. Andrew's Day Hoolies.
Oh, as, yes.
Quite memorable events.
They are they are a little legend in their own lunchtime, yes, for sure.
So when you think about sort of the reception that you got maybe from people living in Palmerston North, compare maybe to current day, are there things that we could be doing better as a city to welcome people in? Were people sufficiently welcoming, do you think?
I felt very welcomed, yes. The job I was doing was a public-facing job, so that meant I got to meet a lot of people, particularly in the business and community sectors. And so, and people were just, people love Scotland, so there was, they hear the accent.
There's that connection, isn't there?
They've all automatically got some connection. Yeah. Everybody's a bit more Scottish than, everybody I met was a bit more Scottish than I actually was. And so would tell me their Scottish story. Yeah. And yeah, we found people to be very, very welcoming. I know there's been various schemes to meet up with new people when they come into town. I don't know whether that actually runs still now.
Well, there is a welcome session for newcomers that the council runs.
Yeah, yeah.
It took a bit of a hiatus during COVID because
You just can't have gather
new people
together.
Coming in. But there was one recently, but I think they won't be as frequent while the borders are closed because there just aren't the people there.
It's not a happening thing. No, I think they're important. Certainly, our citizenship ceremony day, that was an amazing day. And we felt, you know, it's obviously part of it's core to the city and you're in the city venue and the mayor was there and everybody was very... It felt right. It just felt right by that time, yeah.
They're very enjoyable, those citizenships.
Very happy occasions.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I felt rather proud to be sort of received as a New Zealand citizen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were delighted. We're particularly glad that we're able to retain our UK citizenship have our New Zealand citizenship because we think that represents who we are.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have to make the decision to be one or the other, however, we're happy with the mix that we've got.
Yeah,
I think that's our reality. We are a mix now.
Yes, and I suppose, and the more of your family that are based here, the more that kind of balance shifts towards New Zealand and away from Scotland, I suppose.
And we have as well as a little moko that's due in September. Mm. My niece, Michael's sister's daughter, moved here 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
At the end of her OE, she came here at the end of it and liked it so much she stayed. She and her partner, and they have a little one. So we have we have Fano now extended as well as our clan, you know.
So, look, we've just got a couple of minutes left. So let's talk about some of the things you're doing outside of, well, I suppose it's work, but it's kind of work you enjoy.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about clan, because that's a Scottish word, isn't
it? Yes, clan. Yeah. Clan means a group of people who have of common descent with a common purpose, with some kind of connection. And I was doing a lot of coaching with various women and different lots of people, actually. And I realised that I was talking to the women about the same things over and over.
Right.
And I thought, what are the common issues here that women are experiencing? And one of the things that women do well is they share and they support each other. They support each other sometimes better than they support themselves, actually.
Yeah.
So CLAN is a personal development programme that women join, and they come once a month for a year, and we talk about whatever their goals are. Now, we've had everybody from political leaders, we've had a female mayor has been on the programme, to leaders of businesses, to one woman who was wanting to plan a retirement, one woman who was a hairdresser at the end of the road. So all different kinds of women, but all looking to make a change, something, plan something big in their life and come together. It is professional rather than social, but there's a social element, and all these women encourage each other to realise their ambitions and to be braver and bolder and make connections and amplify their ambitions and get there. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun doing that.
It sounds when you're talking about it, it sounds like you really enjoy it.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. I only do things I like. So that's a,
that's a good rule for life, absolutely. Isn't it?
And the other thing, so I did catch myself, you know, one of the scourges of New Zealand is our dreadful suicide rate. And I sort of don't want to end on a downer, but I kept catching myself shouting at the radio when there was articles about it, you know, shouting at the policymakers, going, oh, you need to do something. And I thought, oh, Elaine, you don't actually understand this. So one of the things I do is I do volunteer counselling with Youthline.
Right.
And I just do shifts on the phone, really. And we need to do something really positive for the young people in New Zealand because, yeah, those conversations are powerful and they're something that we need to change in a positive direction, I think, for us. So,
yeah, it's not an easy one to solve, no, is it really?
It's so complex.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, lots of people saying something needs to be done. Not everybody takes the step that you did, which is to then go and volunteer to do at least something in that direction.
I mean, it's small what I'm doing, but I'm getting an understanding of a better understanding of what it's about. So I feel a bit more entitled to having an opinion on it, really. So so I'm involved in lots of different things that are part of our real New Zealand. I feel very, very at home here. We all do.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you find that you have enough time for yourself? I mean, you've got so much going on there. Do you have time for yourself?
Yes. You know, so I do my stand-up comedy. That's a fun thing for me. I try and do a brave thing every year, and that was brave that year, I tell you.
I think that's very brave. Absolutely.
This year I joined a singing group, a four-part a cappella chorus called the Manawatu Overtones. So we sing barbershop harmony, and that's been a big stretch and a lot of fun as well. Lovely, wonderful woman in that group. I have more hobbies here than I could have possibly had in the UK because I don't have big, huge commutes. Yeah. You know, I don't have 2.5 hours a day in a car or on public transport getting to and from a place. You know, so I use that time. For me, my garden's amazing and I do a bit of painting, so all sorts of things.
You've got so much going on, I just don't know how you...
Occasionally it's a bit of a stretch and I have to just say, oh, something has to stop for a week or two and just have a wee quiet week. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, that's a great space to end on. Thanks so much for coming
to
talk
welcome.
To us.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been great fun. I've really enjoyed it. And listeners, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. You can catch the podcast on npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. So thanks very much, Elaine Riley, and cheerio till next week.
Cheerio.